Proverbs chapter 4, we'll begin a text with verse 20 and read down to the end of the chapter, which is verse 27. This year, of course, our theme is about a greater vision. And in January, we talked of a vision of the Lord, looking to the Lord, and spoke about our verse of the month then was Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In February, we spoke about looking for mercy. In Jude 21, looking for mercy of God. And so we talked about looking for mercy and showing mercy to those that we meet. And so that was our thought then. And in March, we looked at being diligent in our look and looking diligently from Hebrews 12, verse 15. And then last month, April, we looked at James 1:25 and spoke of looking in the mirror of the Word of God. So tonight we will, of course, we just started the month of May, and so we have that new verse for the month. And again, it is a nice short one that I trust will be an easy one for us to remember, but a great one to enact into our life. And it's about keeping our focus, about keeping looking where we're supposed to look, looking straight ahead. It may seem contrary to the Christian life and the Bible to speak about looking straight ahead, because often we say we need to be looking around, looking for opportunities, looking for ways to help, looking for people to witness to, and opportunities to serve, and so on. And so when we talk about keeping our eyes straight ahead, we may say, well, how does that work? Why would we want to do that? Well, certainly we do need to look around and see things that are needs around us. We need to look to those people who are around us and how we can help them and minister to them in different ways. But there's also a great need to look straight ahead, because there are a lot of things that are distracting from us in our Christian life. And we face things and we see things going on, and they can distract us from our goal that we ought to have. And so we need to be careful with our look and fix our view on that which is straight ahead. Studies show that 80% of what we learn is through our eyes. That means our eyes are busy looking to see what we can pick up, what we can learn. Some of the things that we learn with our eyes, we probably shouldn't learn with our eyes, but we do. We learn a lot. We're visual people, and we learn a lot by what we see. We live in a world that recognizes that impact. We live in a day today, more than ever, where screens are in front of people. Not only do we have billboards and things, but we have live screens, interactive screens, and projectors with projecting images, and TVs, and all kinds of monitors, and all kinds of things that are around about. What are they supposed to be doing? They're trying to attract our attention, get our attention, to teach us something, to show us something, whether it be good or not good, but it's trying to show us something. And so we recognize that those things do distract us sometimes. Billboards and checkout lines that are filled with expensive but tempting goodies, and TV commercials. We've all been impacted because we see it. Oh, I should just grab that on the way out of the store. Oh, look, there's a billboard for McDonald's or the TV commercial for ice cream, and all of a sudden you're hungry for a bowl of ice cream. I mean, these things happen, don't they? Because we are impacted by what we see. These marketing gimmicks and visual stimuli are nothing new, though, because we find that from the beginning of time, sight has been used to distract people from their goals and to cause people to do different things. God says in Lamentations 3:51, Jeremiah wrote these words, "Mine eye affecteth my heart." He said, "What I see affects my heart." Now, that can be a good thing or that can be a bad thing. 1 John 2:15 warns us against the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And so our eyes can distract us from what is good. There are examples throughout Scripture of people who were distracted by what they saw. In some cases, it ruined their lives. In other cases, it negatively impact their lives and the lives around about them. In other cases, their vision, their goals, their ability to keep focused helped them through and enabled them to accomplish what they were called to do and what they desired to do. On the negative side, we remember right back at the beginning, and Eve saw that the tree was good for food. And in seeing, she said, "I want it." She saw that it was good for food and it was good to the eyes. Achan, back in the book of Joshua saw the goodly Babylonish garment and the silver and those other things in Jericho where God had said, the spoil of this city belongs to me. But Achan saw them and he said, I got to have it. David saw Bathsheba as he looked from his rooftop and he said, I want her for myself. Despite the fact that those in his close company who he sent said, no, she belongs to somebody else. And he said, I want what I've seen. We, on the positive side, think of Caleb, who along with Joshua saw what God was able to do in the promised land. And 40 years later, he had wholly followed the Lord. Why? Because he wasn't distracted. He kept his eyes focused on what was before him, and he completed, he came to the goal that he had. He said, my strength is today as it was 40 years ago, and I'm going to conquer that mountain that God promised me. And he kept his focus. And so, although we need to be aware of the needs around us, there's also a great need and a very important aspect of our vision whereby we must keep looking straight ahead. A horse with its blinders on is hindered from seeing what would distract it from the sides. Some things that would frighten it and cause it to act out. Some things that maybe it would like to follow after and just be distracted from its work. And so they put those blinders on so all it can do is look straight ahead at the angle of the place where it's supposed to be headed. We need to have a fixed view of the Lord and of His plan for our lives. Jesus said, and this was very close up until yesterday. I was going back and forth on the verse for the month of May. But Luke 9:62, Jesus says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What was the point? Jesus was saying you can't look back while you're plowing because your furrow is going to be all messed up. It's not going to be straight. You need to set the goal and carry on and press forward to see the end and goal and the end in sight. If we would be successful in the course that God has for us, then each one of us must keep our eye on the goal. And that's what the title of the message tonight from our text here is, keep your eyes on the goal. We look here in Proverbs 4, verse 20. The Bible says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. In the message tonight, I would like us to see five things that we need to keep our eyes on as we think about keeping our eyes on the goal. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful for this time that we can spend in your word tonight. We pray that you speak to our hearts, and Lord, that we would determine to keep our focus right. Lord, that we would keep our eyes on those things which our eyes are to be on. Lord, that we would be the people who you desire us to be with our lives because of that. And so take your word, and by your Spirit, would you apply it to our lives tonight? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see, first of all, we need to have our eyes in the book. See, that's what we talked about last month. Well, yes, in some ways it is a continuation. We talked about looking in the mirror of God's Word. Now we think about keeping our eyes in the book. We see here that Solomon told his son, my son, attend to my words, let thine ear keep my saying, let them not depart from thine eyes. Say, keep your eyes in the book. Keep your eyes on the words that I have written to you. The word attend means to prick up the ears, to give heed or regard. He said, listen, pay attention to what I'm going to tell you. In other words, what I'm going to tell you is important. And so you need to give your ear attention. We've all been guilty of that, hearing a conversation without really listening to a conversation, even though it may have been directed to us. Maybe you're doing something else. You're, you know, reading a book. Not that I could think that would ever happen, that you're reading a book and you can't, you're supposedly listening to a conversation and don't hear what's going on. But, you know, I'm sure that can happen. Or maybe your mind is somewhere else and you hear words, but you don't listen to them. But Solomon said, my son, attend, perk up your ears, listen, give ear to what I have to say. Unfortunately, children don't always listen to the wisdom of their parents and end up learning the hard way. I'm sure we've all been guilty of that. And looking back in our life, we say, if only I'd listened. We don't as much as we should, but we ought to learn from it. And when Solomon is saying this, he's saying, listen, here's something that I have learned that you need to learn that will help you. Imagine Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, and the wisdom that he wanted to share with his son. No wonder he said, attend to my sayings. But of course, we know that these are not just Solomon's words. These are the words of God. And so Solomon goes on to say to him, not only attend to them and listen to them, but keep your eyes on what I'm saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. He said, listen to them, but now he says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Solomon obviously wrote down these words because under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he recorded them so that we still have them today. But I'm sure that in his own mind, at some point, he was writing these things down for his son when he said, listen to me. And if you haven't listened enough, I want you to have this so that you can read it later on and listen and look what I told you. Let them sink down into your heart, but also you want to have them with you because these words are life and health. You can spare yourself a lot of problems if you'll read these words and apply them, son. So please listen, read them, and have them before you so that you can apply them to your life. Christian, do you realize again today that we have in our possession the words of not just a wise man, but the words of the all-wise God? The God who knows all? And He's given us these words, and He would say to us tonight, He said, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep your eyes in the book. Keep your eyes focused on the Word of God. If you think Solomon had a lot to share, think about what God has to share with His children. In this book, the Bible, are words of life and health for our souls. My father had a lot of wisdom. Sometimes I wished I'd listened to him more. I listened to him some, hopefully quite a bit. But I think back and think, man, I probably could have learned a lot more from my dad. But my dad's words probably related more to this life. Very practical advice. My dad was a very practical man. He knew how to start a business and run a business and have success in business and how to keep customers happy and all those things. He knew a lot of good practical advice. And yes, later on in his years, he had spiritual advice for me as well and for us as his children as well as he grew in his own faith, having only become a Christian just a very short time before I did. But my Heavenly Father's wisdom applies not only to this life, it applies to the next. And he said, I've given you this in this book. Now, let your eyes be in the pages. Keep your eyes in the book. What are you doing with the words that God has given to you in the Bible? Are you reading them? Or the days where you never open your Bible or your Bible app on your phone or your tablet or what have you, and you just ignore those words that God has said, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. You know, if you don't let them into your ears and or your eyes, they're not going to get into your heart. And so we need to keep our eyes in the book, to spend time in the book. If we would have a successful Christian life, then we need to keep our eyes focused on what is in the Bible, what is in the book. There's all kinds of things that would distract from that. There's all kinds of things that we'll hear in the world that says the Bible isn't true, or the Bible contradicts itself, or the Bible's wrong. We need to keep our focus in the book, on the author of the book, and say, I'm going to keep my eyes in this book because this book is true and it's right. And it will keep my life right. We need to keep our eyes in the book. That's the first one. We also need to keep our eyes on our heart. He says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto all that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If you're going to keep something or guard something, it's like you're, then that word keep means to protect or to guard. You need to keep your eyes alert. A watch person, a watchman needs to be alert. He needs to be looking around with his eyes, what's going on, listening to hear what's going on with his ears. And Solomon said we need to keep an eye on our hearts. You ever heard the saying, follow your heart? Doesn't it sound nice? Just follow your heart. I say you better be careful following your heart. Because the heart, according to the Bible, is described in Jeremiah 17:9 as being deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So Solomon says you need to guard your heart. You need to keep an eye on your heart. Jesus said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. That makes it really startling to think about, well, should I just follow my heart? Well, you better be careful if you just follow your heart when Jesus said some of those things come out of the heart. We're told to keep an eye on our heart because the heart can be good or it can be bad. Jesus said again in Matthew 12:35 this time, he said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. There we go, the heart's good, right? But he goes on to say, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. So your heart can be good or it can be evil. So you better be careful before you say, let's follow our heart. Is my heart right? Am I protecting it? Am I guarding it? Am I keeping my eye on its affections? Because if not, I better not just follow my heart. Look over a few pages in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 19. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 19. Solomon again, inspired of God, wrote these words, hear thou, my son, and be wise. Look at the last phrase of this verse. And guide thine heart in the way. Oh. So do we let our heart guide us or do we guide our heart? Solomon said, guard your heart. And then he says, guide your heart. Better make sure that your heart is right. You need to make sure there are right things in your heart and keep it on track. Which I guess brings us back to point number one, doesn't it? Keep our eyes in the book. Because that's what's going to be something that will guide our heart. Remember Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11, where the psalmist in verse 11 particularly says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So what was he saying? He said, I'm guiding my heart by the words of the book, and if I guide my heart by the words of the book, then I won't sin against God. I'll do what is right. Husbands and wives need to remind their hearts where their affection should be. Remember, we are commanded to love. We are to love our spouse. That means it's more than emotion because it's something we can control. We are to guide our heart in the way. We just say, this is right for me to love my spouse. Therefore, I'm going to choose to do so. The heart, of course, isn't that physical organ that pumps the blood around in your chest. The heart is the you being used to describe the center of our affections. And Colossians chapter 3 says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So we need to set our affections. We are commanded to keep our eye on our heart.
to guide our heart, to guard our heart, to set the affections of our heart on the right thing. If you don't keep an eye on your heart, you'll find that your heart will be drawn to things that it shouldn't be. And then if you follow your heart, you're going to find that your life is going to be in all the wrong place. So God says, keep your eyes in the book and keep your eyes on your heart. And then he says, keep your eyes on your mouth. Verse 24 says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Keep your eyes on your mouth. You probably all heard the statement, you better watch what you say. Sometimes we say that to people when they say something about, you know, and they say, you better watch what you say. That could come back to bite you. Better watch what you say. But it's not only in those things, but we need to watch what we say all the time. God says we need to watch what we say. Because he said, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Sometimes we may look at this verse and say, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, and say, well, that means I shouldn't hang around with people who use wrong language and talk about the wrong things. Well, there's definitely an element of that in this verse. I believe that that would fit to what this is saying. I think it's wise not to hang around with people who have a foul, dirty mouth more than you have to. But I don't believe that's the primary application here. Yes, it's better if we can choose to not hang out with people who speak that way. And certainly we need to have enough sense in our minds and in our hearts not to listen to music or watch TV and movies that are filled with cursing and those perverse words. But I think it's more personal than that. In the sense, I think that God is telling us personally, individually, that we need to put away from ourselves perverse mouth and perverse lips, a froward mouth and perverse lips. If we could, I believe that we could say that Solomon is saying here, son, watch your mouth. Watch what you're saying. To put away means to remove, withdraw, and be without. Froward means perverse, not willing to yield or comply with what is required. Unyielding, ungovernable, disobedient. That's froward. Sounds like a bad attitude kind of thing, doesn't it? An anarchist attitude, maybe we'd say. I make the rules around here and I'm not going to go along with what everyone else says. This is what I'm just going to do my own thing. That would be speaking with a froward mouth. Unyielding, ungovernable, disobedient. Perverse means distorted from the right. Turned aside, obstinate in the wrong. God says we need to put those kind of mouths and lips far from us. We need to watch our mouth. I believe that's what he's saying here. We need to watch our own mouth. I honestly get disgusted sometimes by what I hear out of the mouths of some who call themselves Christians. You ever, you know, hear of a celebrity or hear of a person, a sports figure or something, and you hear, oh, they're a Christian. Oh, this is great. Somebody who is a respected figure and they're a Christian, you think, oh, this is awesome. And you get looking into their life a little bit, and then you hear them a little bit more, and you go, oh, maybe I wish that they hadn't said they were a Christian. Because the things that come out of their mouth, the things that come out of their lips, don't speak to being a Christian. Vulgar language, crude comments, dirty jokes, and blasphemous words. You know, the Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, it doesn't say, don't let much corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Don't let it proceed out of your mouth. That's very clearly written to us, written to the church at Ephesus, but under the inspiration of the Scriptures, written to you and I. And God says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth. Doesn't matter whether you feel like spouting off. God says, don't let it proceed out of your mouth. In Ephesians 5 and verse 4, it speaks of filthiness and foolish talking and jesting. And if we go back to verse 3, it says, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Let it not once be named among you. Colossians 3:8 says, put off filthy communication out of your mouth. I know that they say, you know, studies say, well, it's good for your blood pressure. It's good for you if you just, you know, those swear words, you swear that it'll be better for you. God says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It doesn't matter what studies show, supposedly, that, you know, it's better to let it out. No, there's never a right time to swear. There's never a right time to use crude language. There's never a right time to tell filthy stories. Jesus said that we need to watch what we say, and we'll give account of every idle word. And the Bible is very clear. We need to watch our mouths and put those things far from us. And by the way, getting back to the heart, Jesus says it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaketh. So if those things, if we're tempted to say those things that the Bible says we shouldn't say, then we better dig a little deeper and see where our heart is and get it guided in the right way so that the words aren't ready to come out that are wrong words. So the psalmist said this, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. To watch our mouth means to guard our heart, which means to get our eyes in the book. So we need to have our eyes in the book. We need to have our eyes on our heart. We need to have our eyes on our mouth. But we need to have our eyes on the prize, as it were. Verse 25, again, our verse for the month says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Let thine eyes look right on. That means you've got a focus. You're zoomed in. This is where I'm headed. This is the direction. This is what I need to do. This is what my life is going to be about. I'm going to be focused on what I need to do. To maintain a good walk as believers, we must have a goal and set our eyes upon it, not letting anything detract us from that goal. We talked already about the farmer plowing and how he needs to fix his eyes to the end of the row, not be looking at the scenery round about, or he'll have a very winding, crooked row. We have laws in our province about distracted driving. Why? Because it's easy to get, oh, look at that, whoa, and we head over that way. Because we're being distracted. I just saw a video this week of somebody that doesn't live in Ontario, at least anymore, doing a live Facebook video while he was driving of his daughter who's in the back seat. I just say that's crazy. We all would say that's ridiculous, that's crazy. His comment when somebody made a comment was, well, that's why God gave me two eyes. I think we need to be a little more careful than that, but let's take it up a notch to the spiritual. And let's say, hey, we say it would be crazy to be doing that, but what are we doing spiritually? Have we got our eyes fixed on what the Lord wants with our life? And are we saying, that's my goal, I'm not going to let anything take away and distract me from that? It's where we began our messages in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. He ought to be the focus, to follow His plan for our life. Our goal should be to live as Jesus lived, which we learn from His Word. In 1 John 2:6 it says, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. That ought to be our goal. What would Jesus do? Well, read the Bible and see. You'll see over and over He said this, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. He said, I'm doing my Father's will. Our goal should be to do our Father's will, to serve our Lord, to please our Savior. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. There are so many distractions in this world for the Christian. And the devil hangs those carrots on a stick, and then he pulls them off to the side to try and get us to get off track. But our verse tells us, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Keep focused. Keep it before you. What does God want with my life? I'm going to follow what God wants. I'm going to please my Lord in that which I do. Which comes back to getting our eyes in the book, keeping our eyes on our heart and guiding it in the right way. Look right on. Don't be distracted by what's around you. Set your eyes on God and pleasing Him, following the example of the Son of God, heeding the Word of God. And in conclusion, we see the fifth thing that we need to keep our eyes on is that our path. Our path. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. With your eyes in the book, keep your eyes on your heart, watching what you say, and keep your sight set on the Lord, and watch your path. To ponder means to weigh in the mind, to consider, to weigh with a deliberation, to examine. Twice in Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 and 7, God said to Israel, consider your ways. Ponder the path of your feet. Many of us are so busy with life that we don't take the time to ponder the path that we are on. Lamentations 3:40 speaks of searching and trying our ways. To try them means to test them. Against what? Back to the beginning, the book. Keep your eyes in the book. Are there distractions? Oh, you better believe it. There's all kinds of distractions. But keep your eyes on God and watch the path of your feet and make sure you're not following those distractions. Where's the path you're on leading to? We often say that to young people. Where's the path of your life? Where's it leading to? It doesn't stop when we turn 20 or when we're done college or university. All throughout our life, we need to look and say, what path am I on and where is it leading? Ponder the path of thy feet. So many people don't look further down the road than they are on. They live for the here and now. Even Christians, many times, were guilty of doing the same thing. Is your path leading you to the goal of pleasing God with your life? So many have a heart to do right, and they have their goal set in the right direction, but their feet are pointed in the wrong direction. Yep, I'm going to go over there. You need to ponder the path of your feet. Are your feet led to the way that your goal is set for? Ponder the path of thy feet. After pondering them, get them established in the right way, then stick on that path. Psalm 119:59 said, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Isn't that interesting? I thought on my ways. I said, this is where I want to go. And then I had to look at my feet and I had to turn them to the Lord's testimonies. So I got where I needed to be going. As long as your feet are on the right path and your course is set, verse 27 says, don't go to the right hand or to the left. Stay on the path. Get your eyes on your path and ponder it. Make sure it's heading in the right direction. So as we think of, Lord, give us a greater vision, may it be that we would have a vision of our path. Thinking about our path, keeping our eyes on the goal, we need to keep our eyes in the book. Are we reading it? Are we having it before us? We need to have our eyes on our heart. Are we guiding our hearts into that which is right? Are we protecting it from the things that would lead it astray? Keep your eye on your mouth. Be careful what you say. Keep your eyes on the prize. What is before you? Keep your eyes on the path. Are your feet headed in the right direction?